appreciate you being here. And I really don't worry about the crowds. I preached on the radio 30-some years.
Amen.
And you just have to have a vision. Amen. So I'm preaching to the untold masses and multitudes tonight. And we appreciate you being here. Appreciate these preachers praying for us. And for the church, you've been faithful yesterday and today, tonight. And I hope you'll be faithful every night.
Amen.
And the Lord will speak to our hearts. I'm just going to preach to you out of my heart tonight. The Lord will help me. I believe the Sunday morning from Brother Quintana, I pray for him every day, but I've been praying for him for 25 years since he was on deputation, and I call him Quintana, but it's I thought that's what it was, but I stayed at a La Quinta Inn somewhere, so I guess it's Brother Luther Quintana. So if Lord knew who I was talking about.
Amen.
Even people don't understand my hillbilly language anyway about half the time. But I'm feeling good in my soul tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad it is well with my soul. I think William Spafford wrote that song after his family, his daughters were washed overboard and drowned in the sea. And he survived it, and he and his wife, after they lost their family, and he wrote that song, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Amen.
And I know it's well with my soul.
Amen.
So I'm on, my wife's not here. I feel a little different without her. She's the better half, and we've been married for 40, going on 49 years. And so it's a little different with her not being here. But I'll assure you, she's praying for me. She's in her right. I mean, she's a little dizzy. But she is dizzy when she married me. I reckon she never was married to start with. But she's praying for me. So we'll do our best for Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read the chapter and do a little bit of exposition in the chapter. And then we'll be through. Verse number 1. Paul said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." I'm interested in that. "We faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Aren't you glad you got a pastor like that? He's your servant for Jesus' sake. He's not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but he believes the Bible and he's preaching you the truth. And I thank God for my pastor that helped me years ago. And God gave me the opportunity to help folks as their pastor. And you ought to thank God for your pastor and esteem him very highly.
Amen.
For his calling and for his work's sake, the Bible says. But verse number 5, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." And I still preach him as Lord. "And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give a light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, 'I believe, and therefore have I spoken,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us all by Jesus, also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. My, what a scripture. Would you ask God to help me tonight? Father, Lord, I do love you. Thank you again for salvation full and free that we have in Jesus tonight. And we're glad, Father, He purchased it with His own blood on the cross of Calvary and paid our redemption full and free. And I want to thank you tonight for the opportunity to serve you. And Lord, that Christ may be manifest in our body, whether it be by life or by death. I thank you for the Pleasant View Baptist Church and those that have assembled themselves together here tonight. And Lord, I thank you for nudging my heart today about the message. And I pray for liberty over the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we might preach with unction and anointing tonight. And I pray thy word, but Lord, find a lodging place in every heart that's under the sound of the gospel tonight. If there be one that, Lord, it's not well with their soul tonight, I pray to help them to understand, and may the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine into their heart tonight. And Lord, may they be saved by the grace of God. And I pray you to revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Do that for us. We cannot do for ourselves. And we'll praise your holy name because we love you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to do a little bit of exposition. That's the way I like to preach, kind of the way God has geared me. And there's all kinds of preaching. There are shotgun messages. You take a text and just run all over the Bible and preach different thoughts, and I have done that. But I want to try to stay in this chapter tonight, the Lord being my helper. Take my thought out of verse number 8. The Bible said, the Apostle Paul, of course, doing the writing, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I read that a while back, and it kind of jumped off the page at me in verse number 8. When Paul said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And I circled, yet not distressed. And if Jesus will help me for a little while tonight, I want to preach at this thought, too blessed to be stressed.
Amen.
Too blessed to be stressed. Paul said, yet all the troubles and problems and difficulties, and I want to illuminate us a little bit on Paul's trouble for just a minute, but I want my message to be geared on the thought, though everything that happened to the Apostle Paul, he could still pin down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, yet I am not distressed. And we're living in a day today when men are under stress. The pastor said a while ago that sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. That's Bible, and I believe that every one of us can relate and we can agree with him on that. But I tell you, we may be up. Look what Paul said in verse number 8. He said, troubled, yes, but not distressed. He said, perplexed, yes, but not in despair. Verse 9, persecuted, yes, but not forsaken. Cast down, yes, but not destroyed. A good 4-point outline in verse number 8 and verse number 9. Paul said, I'm not distressed, I'm not in despair, I'm not forsaken. I say not deserted there for alliteration's sake. And then he said, I am not destroyed. All of these things going on in the life of the Apostle Paul. But he wrote to this infant church, to this young church. He probably a few years old now when Paul wrote the letter. But he said, all the difficulties and problems that we as children of God are going to have, yet we are not distressed. So I hope tonight that God will allow me to be a blessing to you. We're living in a day, days of stress. I'm busier than I've ever been in the last 43 years that I've been saved by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, if we aren't careful, we'll allow, Jesus said in Matthew 13 in the parables there, he said, the cares of this life
will choke out the seed. And I think he's talking about a salvation there and also the kingdom. But if we aren't careful, we'll let the cares of this life get us so wound up or so maybe geared up or so in a state of distress that we cannot be a blessing and we can't even let God bless us.
Right.
And so Paul said, with all these problems I've got, even though I'm troubled on every side, that's front, back, left, and right. I kind of reminded of Job when I read that. Job said he had troubles in front of him. I looked in the back, I couldn't find him. Left hand and right hand, he said, I couldn't find the Lord. I couldn't tell where he was working. But he said, yet when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's kind of what Paul is saying here in verse number 8. Though I'm troubled on every side, I am not distressed. Distress can be real. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter number 21 and verse number 25. Jesus talking about the last days and the coming of the tribulation period. He said there would be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. Jesus almost said about the same words that Paul said. There's going to be trouble above you. There's going to be trouble around you. The seas and the waves are going to be roaring and the church is going to be tossed to and fro and your family's going to be tossed on a turbulent sea and your life is going to be full of turmoil and perplexity. And that word perplexity, I looked it up. It means problems that you cannot get an answer to. And that's what Jesus said. There would be distress of nations with perplexity. They don't know just what to do about the monetary crisis. And I'm telling you, our dollar is losing things. I don't have time to get into the political realm. I'd probably get so mad I couldn't see straight. Amen. I don't know how they can be so smart and be so ignorant. Right. I was kind of reminded of this young couple. They were having a little fuss. And this young man, he said, "Darling, I do not understand how God could make you so beautiful and yet so dumb." But she said, "Well, I can tell you." He said, "Well, tell me." She said, "He made me beautiful so you would ask me to marry you. And he made me dumb so I'd say yes." So be careful about your stress and perplexing problems, all right? Perplexity, problems on every hand. They don't know what to do with the water situation. They don't know what to do with global warming, and that don't worry me one bit, I'll be honest with you. I'm not worried about the Atlantic Ocean raising 3 inches in the next 100 years. I just don't let that bother me. I'm too busy to be bothered about things like that. But Paul said, all these things are going on in my life, yet I am not distressed. I was kind of reminded of an illustration I heard about this little boy. Distress is real, and pressure's real, and we're all subject to succumb to that if we aren't careful. But this little boy was sitting, and he was had his face in his hands, and he had a distraught look on his face, and his mama, his name may have been Eli. And his mama said, "Son," said, "what's wrong with you? Why are you so stretched out?" And he said, "Mama, I don't think Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. I think somebody pushed him." And he's all stressed out because somebody pushed Humpty Dumpty off the wall.
Yeah, right.
I think tonight we make mountains out of molehills. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. For just a little bit, your problems are not bigger than God that saved you by the grace of God. Your problems are nothing compared with God's grace and God's mercy that He can give you. Now, we do have problems. Paul had problems. If you had time to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23, Paul said something like this. He said, "Five times are the Jews received thy 40 stripes, save one." That's fulfillment of Deuteronomy, where they said if they went over 40 stripes, then they would take the rod or stripe. with a bull whip or whatever, and they would beat them. And so they would stop at 39 to be careful. And Paul said of the Jews, received I 40 stripes, save the one, and done that 5 times. He said, twice was I beaten with rods. He said, once was I shipwrecked. He said, a day and a night in the deep. He said, once was I stoned outside the city of Lystra. He said, I was in peril by my own countrymen. I was in peril by the heathen. All these problems and difficulties came in Paul's life. And yet he wrote down, Brother Pastor, in verse number 8, and he said, yet, besides that, he said, the care of all the churches, besides what was going on in Paul's life and the care of all the churches, he wrote down to the little church at Corinth, and he said, yet I am not distressed. When I read that, I said, Lord, please help me and speak to my heart where I can be an overcomer, and my problems will never get bigger than you are. And I think God gave me the answer in chapter number 4. Look with me, please. I'm going to jump around a little bit in the chapter, and we'll settle down here and get through. But in verse 16, he said, for which cause we faint not. He said that twice in verse 1 and verse 16. We faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's what brought Paul's victory in his life. He said, I am renewed day by day. This thing is a daily thing of victory in your life. I thought about this. You cannot, and I've learned this in serving Jesus for 43 years, you cannot carry tomorrow's burden on today's grace.
Amen.
I hope you'll remember that, jot it down in your mind, and if you don't think you can remember it, jot it down in your Bible somewhere. You cannot carry tomorrow's burdens on today's grace. And if you get to concern and get worried about tomorrow, you ought to remember the words of that song. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what a day may bring. But I tell you this, His grace is a daily thing, and He gives grace one day at a time. So when you get into tomorrow, I'll guarantee you, God will be there waiting for you.
Amen.
Just like He was with you yesterday, and just like He's with you today, He will be in tomorrow. When you get there, He'll be standing there to give you grace and to help you. And the Apostle Paul, when he prayed and talked to the Lord about the thorn that he had in his physical problem, he had spiritual problems, he had physical problems, he was counted as the offscouring of the earth. But he said when he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so Paul did not faint. And I looked in this chapter and I found three things that I want to give you that was the reason the Apostle Paul did not faint. Trouble on every side. I committed a lot of scripture to memory years ago about trouble, and I'm not trying to impress you, but the Bible said man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job 5:7, the Bible said man is born under trouble. As surely as the sparks fly upward, you are going to have trouble. Said in John 16:33, in the world you are going to have tribulation. Yeah, but preacher, I'm going to live right. Well, he said in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And on I could go. So you're not going to get out of trouble. You can forget about God and forget about the church and get in trouble. You can live for Jesus every day of your life and you're still going to have trouble. So I would rather face my troubles with Jesus helping me than I would to be out there by myself. Amen. And so I'm going to stay with the church, and I'm going to live for the Lord, and I'm going to let God take care of my trouble. I thought about the Apostle Paul. Yet I am not distressed. He wasn't distressed about his past. It was gone. He wasn't distressed about the present. Jesus is alive and making intercession for him. And he wasn't distressed about the future. God said, my grace will be sufficient for you, and I'll be there tomorrow when you get there. So let me do a little bit of exposition in this chapter, give you three things, and we'll be through. I think in verse number 1 and verse number 2, if you mark your Bible, he said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Look at the ministry. The first reason Paul did not succumb to his suffering, and the first reason Paul did not bow down, neighbor, to the burdens that he carried, and the first reason that the Apostle Paul did not die to the distress that come upon him every day of his life, he said, "I have received a ministry." I put it this way for alliteration's sake. The ministry to the sinner. The Apostle Paul knew that he'd been saved by the grace of God, and God saved him for a reason. And God saved him for a purpose. God gave him a ministry. Look at verse 1. "We have this ministry." He wanted to finish his ministry. He set his sight like Jesus did when he came into this world. The Bible said Jesus set his face like a flint. He was going to the cross. The world told him it was crazy. Some of his family, they said, "You're mad, you've lost your mind." And the devil did everything within his power that he would entice through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, the temptation in the wilderness, trying to keep Jesus from going to Calvary. But Jesus set his face like a flint. And in John 19 and 30, he said, "Father, it is finished." And I believe, preacher, that God put that in Paul's heart when he saved him by the grace of God. I believe this is what he meant in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 14. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God." I believe when Paul got saved, God gave him a mark out there, and Paul set his sight, and he said, "By the grace of God, I am going to attain, I'm going to keep pressing on till I reach that mark God set for me." I think that's the finish line. If you'll study the life of the Apostle Paul, that pressing, "I press toward the mark," that pressing is an athletical term. Now, when you see a runner running a race and going around the course, when they get on that last lap and they raise up that yellow ribbon and they get down just about to that mark, it looks like to me they'd want to reach out and slap this ribbon and break it, but they don't do that. They lay those arms back and they put that chest out. This used to be up here. This used to be up here. And this used to be up here. Amen. But anyway, now they're pressing toward the mark and they break that ribbon with their chest and they don't want to break stride to try to reach out and get their hand out in front of them and get to stumbling around and falling. And so they press toward the mark and they finish the course and they win it with their chest. Are you listening to me? I think tonight some of us ought to take a deep breath and make up our mind we are going to finish this thing God has given us to do. I think here's what the Apostle Paul wrote when he told young people, "I'm just going to preach for a while, and when I get through, we'll quit." Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul wrote to a young preacher, like I called and wrote and talked to your pastor over the years gone by. And I said, "Son," he said, "you know this, and in the last days the perilous times are going to come, the preacher's going to get old." But he said, "Timothy, I want to tell you one thing." He said, "The Lord's going to come, Jesus is going to come, and here's what you need to do. The Lord himself is going to come back, and you don't want to be found wanting. You don't want to be found with an unfinished course. You don't want to be found with a race that you didn't run. You don't want to be found with a ministry that is unfulfilled." And so he said, "Timothy, this know also, in the last days, perilous times are going to come, buddy, but you keep pressing toward that mark." And he got up in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and he got down about verse 7 and 8, and he said, "I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." And so Paul said, "Timothy, I want to instill in you something that God instilled in me years ago when I started my ministry. I am now Paul the Aged. I've got to be an old man. And son, I want to tell you, you're going to preach in a day when they will not endure sound doctrine. You're going to preach in a day when they'll heap to themselves teacher that have an itch in the ear, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth. But he said, son, endure hardness as a good soldier. And all these are in the epistles of Timothy. He said, finish your course. Don't get distressed. And don't let the pressure get you out of the way. Do what God called you to do. Church, are you listening? I think if we could get a proper vision of what the church really is tonight, I believe it'd make a difference in our lives. I don't think that a lot of church members realize tonight that the church is a ministry. It's just not somewhere where you choose to go once a week, or maybe if no family reunions or nothing going on, you might go twice a week. The church is a ministry. We are the arm of God. We're the bride of Christ, the building of God. We're God's army. We're soldiers in the army. We're in the military. We're fighting for God. And church, get this vision tonight that God has given you a ministry. I remember when your pastor prayed for about 3 years, and he's told me several times that it took that long for God to get him lined out. Well, I don't know everything about that, about God's calling on another man's life, but I'll tell you this, God gave him a ministry, and God put something in his heart and sent him out here to Tucson, Arizona, and planted this work here, and God has chosen and saw fit to save you or to put you in this place, and this church is a ministry. It's just not hit and miss or take it or leave it or by chance or perhaps maybe we'll just do whatever we want to do. This is a ministry. And Paul said, having this ministry, we faint not. I tell you, when you get careless and you get kind of slipshod and hit and miss and you're in and out and off and on, what we're doing is hindering the ministry that God has given this church. It's kind of like your old car. If you got a six-cylinder, it's running on about four, and the valves are clacking and rattling and carrying on. They still have valves. I guess they do. But I'm telling you, if it's not running right, and it's not hitting on every cylinder, it's not going to get the job done. And you ought to get a vision of your church. It's just not a place to come every now and then, hear somebody preach or sing a song or two and get somebody to pray for you. It's a ministry. God has planted a plant in Tucson, Arizona, and make up your mind, I want to be a part of it. I want to fulfill it. I want to see God's ministry go on and be carried on in the church. So here's what the Apostle Paul said. The reason I don't think, he said in verse number 1, we have received a ministry. God has given this church a ministry. For alliteration's sake, I call it a ministry to sinners. Would you look over chapter number 5, and I jotted this scripture down today in chapter number 5 and verse number 14, 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Did you see in verse number 15 that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again? When you got saved by the grace of God, you forfeited your life. You gave your life on the death that you were in. God saved you by the grace of God. And I think tonight, we're not preaching this thing of salvation as deep as God intended for us to preach it out of the inspired Word that He gave us. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Are you listening to me? When you got born again, you were saved by the grace of God. God saved your soul, and sealed it with the Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. That seal will never be broken. You can't try to break it. Sin's not going to break it. Noah pitched that ark within and without the same word. There's atonement. When God atoned for your soul, He sealed you, neighbor, eternally, and that salvation is permanent. We know that. And He quickened you and made you alive spiritually. And your body, here's what He said in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, in a word, as I earnestly beg and plead with you, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is a perfect, acceptable, and good will of God for you to give your body to the Lord, where God can do something with you. He wants to put you in the ministry, not necessarily to call you to preach or send you to Africa or whatever tonight. God's ministry is a many-faceted thing. It's like a diamond that just sparkles in the facets of that diamond. It shines in every direction. But I'm telling you, when God saved you, God wants you in the ministry of the church. It takes every member to make up that ministry, preacher. And I know that's elementary, but I don't think it's ever sunk in on us tonight. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 15, henceforth, you don't live to yourself. After you get saved by the grace of God, you're not your own. Paul said, I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. When I married my wife nearly 49 years ago, her daddy gave me her hand. He not only gave me her hand, but he gave her to me. She's mine. She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We are one, joined in the sight of God, and what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Amen. And so my wife and I are one flesh and one body, and she serves me and I serve her, and maybe we're in submission one to another. It's not a one-way street, by the way, and I'm not preaching on marriage or the family tonight. I'm preaching on the church. When you got saved by the grace of God, in 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew, Gentile, bond, or free, we've been all made to drink of that one Spirit, and we are in one body. You might be in the hand, you might be in the foot. I guess God put me in the mouth, amen? But I'm telling you, whatever part of that body He put you in, and put you in a local church, and you ought to want to fulfill that ministry.
Amen.
Paul said, I have a ministry, and that ministry primarily was to reach sinners. It was to reach the lost. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:14, the love of Christ, 5:14, the love of Christ constrains me, that if one died for all, then all were dead. I don't have time to fight with you about Calvinism, but I'm telling you, Jesus faced the death for every man.
Amen.
And God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. And so the whole world is wrapped up in darkness tonight, and lies in the lap of a wicked one, and God put it in the heart of the Apostle Paul. And he said in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 31, he said, you remember that I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He said, I've got a burden for sinners, and I want sinners to be saved. And God put this church in Tucson, Arizona. And he said in Matthew 5, verse number 14, 13, 14, 15, you're the salt of Tucson, Arizona. You're the light of Tucson, Arizona. Well, he said the salt. Salt is beautiful and white and pretty, isn't it? After it's refined and made beautiful, and that salt looks good in a shape, and that's kind of what we are tonight. We're the salt gathered. But this salt won't have too much influence as long as it's in that shaker. That's the salt gathered. But you pick that salt shaker up and you start scattering around, that is the church scattered out. And it'll have an influence somewhere out yonder. It'll not influence that soup or that steak or your potato as long as it's in the gathering place. But you start swinging it around and you start scattering
turn around and it's going to influence somebody, amen? And that's what you need to do. Leave the four walls of this church and take some salt out of here and spread it around at the workplace where you work. This family had a family with them the other day, yesterday. Somebody had a family with them, I think, last night. That is the salt having an influence in Tucson, Arizona. Amen. That is the ministry that God has given this church. We're not going to reach them all. You say, preacher, we can't reach them all. Well, I heard an illustration. These two preachers or two fellows were working, walking along the shore. Maybe it was a dad and a son. And the starfish, the tide came in and washed those starfish upon the shore. And the tide went back out and those starfish were just laying everywhere dying. And that little boy picked up one of them and slung it back into the water. His dad said, son, you can't have this. Dude, you can't do any good making it ever all these starfish out here. He said, I did to that one.
Amen. Amen.
Are you listening to me? A ministry that you have. You're not going to win everybody to God. But Paul said, I've got a ministry and I cannot rest. He said, I cannot quit. I will not succumb to my problems that I have. I am not going to come to the place of getting so distressed that I cannot serve God or can no longer fulfill what God has given me to do. He gave His life that He might reach others with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Problems yet on every side. Troubles all around me. The cares of all the churches. And folks forsook Him. Folks deserted Him. Folks misunderstood Him. They incarcerated Him. They put Him on a shipwreck on islands out in the sea. And all those problems the Apostle Paul faced. But he said, I will not quit. I will not give up. I will not abandon ship. I will not forfeit the call God gave to me to the ministry. I'm going to finish what Jesus gave me to do.
Amen.
I would to God tonight the church would get a new vision of a world that's going to hell and get out there and try to rescue somebody.
Amen.
I like John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Jesus said in John 4:35, well, those men, and there's a whole lot in John 4, chapter number 4, those disciples were, they didn't want anything to do with that sinful, wicked woman, had five husbands, it was a man, one of their own, and they didn't really want to have anything to do with a Samaritan woman, and so they went to buy provisions or groceries. Now, while Jesus sat on the well by himself, you remember?
Amen.
And he had to ask the sinful woman to give him a drink of water when he had 12 apostles, should have been giving him a drink of water. Say amen.
Amen.
You said they were buying groceries. Did it take 12 of them to go to Walmart? That's kind of like people going to the bathroom. You let one go to the bathroom, there'll be four of them go to the bathroom. That goes at the same time.
Amen.
I don't think it took all 12 of them to go buy groceries. They didn't want to mess with that sinful woman. They didn't want to defile their hand. And Jesus rebuked them in verse number 35, John chapter 4. And he said, lift up your eyes and look on the field. They are white already, the harvest. There are souls out there. I tell you, Brother Bill, when I got saved, motorcycle policeman, rough as a cop, but I had some old derelicts that I knew and dope heads that I knew and drunkards that I knew. I'd get out during the week and I'd rescue them. We'd go on to a Southern Baptist church. I just got saved and got baptized, got in. I'd bring those old fellas in, and I'm telling you, they smelled like something the cats had drug in. A lot of folks would look over at them, and the old boy sat there listening. Every now and then, one of them get saved.
Amen.
Some of them did, but every now and then, one of them get saved by the grace of God. It doesn't matter who they are. They need some help. Sinners are blind. But the gospel's hid, he said in my text, now the gospel's hid of him and the law. It doesn't matter what they look like. By the way, it doesn't matter what they've done either.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from all sin.
Sin cannot stand in the presence of Jesus. The blood of Jesus goes deeper than the stain of sin could ever go. I've got to hurry. Are you listening? He didn't faint. And he didn't succumb to the stress he was under because of a ministry he had. How many folk preachers come out west and go home?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them do. It's hard for a home missionary, quote, I say home missionary, hard for a man back east to raise support to come out west.
because he's been submitted. I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just preaching. And I'm not apologizing for preaching either. But they come out away is because they don't build a big work in 2 or 3 or 4 years. They get discouraged and they pack up and go home. I stayed in Pleasantview almost 36 years. God put me there and never did tell me to leave. My pastor told me, I had the church, and we had, I mean, for 4 years, it was a knockdown, drag up, drag out, fist fights, knife fights, everything else you think of. My pastor told me, said, Brother Rand, said, the Lord will probably, he's got you in boot camp, and he's praying with you, and he'll move you and give you a church somewhere. I guess I never get out of boot camp. I've been boot camp 36 years. I've been in the military. That's a long time to stay in boot camp. But I learned what I did learn. I learned it good.
Amen.
But I had a ministry. I didn't want to faint. Didn't want to quit. I thought I'd be there till I got old and just rode off into the sunset, you know, got a baby or not, and maybe got too old to preach or whatever. But God changed all that, and that's another different story. But Paul had a ministry, the reason he didn't faint. He said, I've got to fulfill it. I'm going to fulfill it. I've set my face like a flint. I'm not turning to the left hand, the right hand. I got the blinders on, and I am finishing what God gave me to do.
Amen.
Are you listening? He was compelled by the love of Christ that constrained him. Look secondly in verse number 1. That's the meat of my message. We have this ministry. Are you a part of this ministry? Let me ask you, church. Are you a part of this ministry? Are you a vital part of this ministry? This is a ministry. It's not just a church. It's a ministry. Ministry is a ministry. You're trying to reach people. You're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You're a part of it. You're a ministry. You gotta take it in your heart. You're a ministry. Having received this ministry, sure there's going to be trouble. Let me tell you what do you trouble. I'm not going to preach this, but look at verse 17. God gave you this today. He said, for our light affliction. I underline in my Bible and I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Paul said, for our light affliction, beaten with stripes 5 times, thrice with rods, stoned to death, I think, outside the city of Lystra, shipwrecked 3 times. Said, it's just a light affliction. He had something this generation don't have. We can have a flat tire and get mad at God, stay out of church 3 services.
That's right.
God taught me some good lessons. Can I just act like I'm a hungry? God's dealing with me about the ministry. He's giving me a ministry. I was miserable. I was bashful and just about introverted, to be honest with you. I knew I was good and pretty. You already know that as well. But I knew I was good, and God dealing with me about preaching. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to Lake Cassine, I'm going fishing. I'm getting away for a little while, I'm going fishing. I got in an old 64 Falcon station wagon. I started out towards the lake to go fishing. Got out in the middle of the road, and that thing just stops right in the road. Right in the middle of the intersection. I slaughtered real big, and I gently got out of the car. I took that door and I slammed that door and I'm glad it fell down inside. You ain't never been there, have you, Brother Bruce? I bowed my head standing on the boulevard in Panama. I said, Lord, if you will let this stinking car crank, I won't go fishing. I'll go back home and see what you're doing with my car.
Amen.
I got interned again over. I drove back home, put the fishing pole in. God put me in the ministry.
Amen.
Are you listening? Here's what to do with you. Problems, whether it's ministry or what do you do? Look at verse 17. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's what I saw in verse number 17. Paul is weighing the things that are going on in his life, physically, spiritually, problems he's having in his life. He's weighing those in the light of eternity. And he said, this light affliction is but for a moment. But he said, these things, this exceeding weight of glory that I'm going to receive when I get on the other side, he said, there's no comparison to them. My second thought is this. He was not only didn't think because of the ministry that he had to the sinner, because of the mercy of the Savior. In verse number 1, having this ministry, we have received mercy. When the troubles come in Paul's life, here's the way he measured his problem. My troubles and my trials and my difficulties is a chance for God to manifest His mercy in my life. Weigh them out. When the troubles come and your sufferings come and the persecutions come, whatever category you want to put them in, when they come, it's God given an opportunity to manifest His mercy in your life.
Amen.
If you never had a problem, you would never know He could solve it.
That's right.
And so the Apostle Paul went through all of these sufferings, and he said this in Romans 8:18. I like it's an old hillbilly country word, I reckon. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
You can't compare the two.
So when your afflictions come, and your stress comes, and you get all stressed out of shape, and jump on your wife, or jump on your husband, or jump on your kids, and make a fool out of yourself, and embarrass yourself, and get mad at God, and mad at the church, and mad at everybody around you, I'll tell you what you're doing. You're letting them become bigger than God,
right,
and you're not allowing God to manifest His mercy to you.
Amen.
I didn't faint, Paul said, because I had a ministry. In verse number 1, I didn't faint because of the mercy of the Lord. Here's what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah chapter 3, Lamentation chapter 3, verse number 22. He said, it's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. That is a good verse. That's Lamentation 3:22. It's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. The Bible said, here's what it said a while ago, His compassions fail not, they're new every morning. God's mercy and grace is a one day at a time thing.
Amen.
Paul could have gotten worried about tomorrow and worried about his problems that's coming tomorrow, which some of us let things worry us to death.
Amen.
And keep us from being faithful to God. And they say about 90-some percent, 98% of the problems you worry about, you never have to face anyway.
Right.
They're gone before you get there.
Amen.
So we worry ourselves to death, and we get all stressed out about it, and all the time God is working to demonstrate His mercy in our life. I have been there. I've been saved a long time. I'm getting to be an old man. Without exception, everything and difficulty and problem in our family and ministry and our life was an opportunity for God to demonstrate His mercy.
Amen.
I know God makes no mistakes. He knows each path I take. He never's played around in your life. He's given an opportunity to show His mercy through you.
Amen.
And we fail the test.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Yet I'm not distressed. All these troubles Paul has gone through. Verse number 1. We have a ministry and we have mercy. And I'll guarantee you God's mercy is sufficient for every ministry. I'm not preaching this. I'm through. Look at verse number 7. Let me give you my point and I'll quit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I call that for alliteration. Say, we have a ministry, we have the mercy of the Lord in verse 1, and verse 7, we have a might or a power that the world knows nothing about. Look at verse 7 again. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If I am not confused and not rightly dividing the word of truth, Paul is telling them, when these ministry God's giving you, and this mercy God's going to manifest through you, He's giving you the secret to experiencing all of that, and that is going to be through the work of the Holy Ghost that He put inside of you. We have a treasure in our... I got a series that I preached. God gave it to me about 1:30 in the morning in my bed, told me to get up and write it down. I got a series, 12 points, get out of 4:7, where He said we have a treasure in earthen vessels. Here's the title of it. We've got a treasure beyond measure. And that's the Holy Spirit inside of you. 12 names of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of life. Darkness will never overtake you. Are you listening? And I literally 12 of them down through there like that. He's the Spirit of faith. You should never have to doubt. He's the Spirit of light. You don't have to ever get in darkness. Let it overcome you. He's the Spirit of love. You should never become disgruntled.
Amen.
Are you listening? Is He living in you? You about to faint? About to throw in the towel? Here's what 1 John 4:4 says. I love it. This is in part. He that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. He that's within you, that's the indwelling Holy Spirit. When you know your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you received of God, and you're not your own. He that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. Here's probably what God's doing in your life. He's allowed you to have all those troubles in verse number 8. Cast down, perplexed, all those things Paul referred to, that he could let the Holy Spirit manifest Jesus in your life to a lost and a dying world. And that might be the only time they'll ever see Jesus. They won't come and hear the preacher. They won't go give you an opportunity for you to get them on the gospel somewhere. So God allows us, the light of the world, to get in these dark places and hard times in our life where the light can shine out of us for the glory of God.
Amen.
Shine into their faith and they see Jesus in you.
Amen.
To me, that's one.
Amen.
God would choose to use you. I tell you this, and I'm further. Your troubles, somebody put it this way, your extremity is God's opportunity to manifest Himself to some sinner.
Amen.
You moms and dads, when the troubles and trials come, and those little eyes are watching you, you hold your head up. Say, I have been young, and I now am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or in seed begging bread.
Amen.
David said, hey, although I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why, David? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. He got out to the end of it and said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You get down in that valley, and I'll be honest with you, the 23rd Psalm, I don't think it's about dying. I think it's living through this valley of the shadow of death. That's an earthly sin. I don't have time to deal with that. But when you get in that valley, goodness and mercy is going to be manifest in your life. Somebody's going to see Jesus in your life. Those young preachers, Timothy and Titus and Apollos, and those young men in Paul's ministry, they saw that old soldier weather every one of those storms. Beat him at Philippi, and he said, Silas, let's sing Amazing Grace or something. I guess that's what he's saying. Let's sing a little bit. They got to singing, and God shook the jailhouse. That old jailer said, I ain't never seen God like that in my life. They sprang in, called for a light, got saved. Papa jailer got saved. Mama jailer got saved. And all the little jailers got saved.
That's right.
They never would have gotten, I'll be honest with you, if you'll study your Bible, you'll find out that through that jailer, Aunt Lydia, the seller of purple, God started the church on the hillside.
Amen.
God's building a church in Tucson, Arizona.
Amen.
But he's going to do it through troubles and trials and tribulations and difficulties where he can manifest his mercy in your life and in the preacher's life, and somebody will see Jesus in you as sure as the world and say, that's the kind of God I want. But you hang your head and you get bitter and mad at God and mad at each other and fuss and quarrel the way 99% of the churches are doing, and nobody sees God. They see all kinds of other things and they shake their heads that I don't want anything to do with it. But we are too blessed to be stressed. Can I ask you this? We encourage you to do this. Would you count your blessings instead of your troubles?
Amen.
We used to sing a song of blessing. You count your blessings, name them one by one. I told the song leader one morning, I said, don't sing it like that anymore. Count your blessings, name them ton by ton. We sang it like that for 35 years. It's like a little girl. This little girl was stressed. Her mama said, honey, said, count your blessings. Just close your eyes and count the sheep. How many blessings you got? She said, 1, 2, 4, 5, 7. Her mom said, what happened to 3 and 6? She said, those were black sheep right there. But she didn't have but 2 black sheep and 5 white sheep.
Amen.
Some of y'all leave here tonight and you'll say, I have a light I go to, the red line. Well, that's going to be green. Unless you run a late dinner, all going to be red. We all look at the negative side of it instead of the positive side of it. If Paul had done that, he'd have thrown his hands up and quit a long time ago. But he finished his course, and I got a crown. But that said, Timothy, you can get one too if you'll finish your race. Preacher, finish your ministry. Don't do anything. You children get in the church, get involved in the church, hold mom and dad's hands up, hold the preacher's hands up. You families get in this ministry. Watch God. He'll build the church. I learned a long time ago. Jesus said, I'll build the church. You just do what I require you to do.
Amen.
Build the church. Dr. Howard can't build a church. Dr. Rain can't build a church. We can do what we're supposed to do. Let Jesus build the church.
Amen. We'll ask some of you to become musicians tonight.
I hope you're listening to the message. I'll say this about Preacher Raines, and I'm not trying to toot his horn tonight. In a way I am, but I'm not trying to flatter him. He knows what he's preaching about. Right? He knows what he's preaching about because he's experienced a lot of that. Preacher, I was thinking about when you was talking about the troubles and the heartache and everything that goes on in Christians' lives. I've seen this man of God keep living for the Lord and keep preaching when troubles come. When heartaches come, heartbreak come. Only a pastor can understand it, I guess, when you have people that you've led to the Lord and preached to for 25 years turns against you and wants to cut your throat. I remember one time his digging out a pond on his property, and I think the old dozer he was driving turned over on him, or a truck or something. I can't even say it was a truck or a dozer, preacher. He was in a truck hauling some dirt out, and it turned over on him and went underwater, upside down underwater, and he barely got out alive. And people in the church, some people in the church, accused him of being backslid because he turned the truck over in his pond and almost drowned. I've seen people rip his heart out and he'd get up and preach with the love of God in his heart to the ones that's still there. I've seen
heartache come to his family, heartbreak come to his family and his ministry, and to keep on serving God. So he's not preaching something to you that he hadn't experienced. We keep on living for the Lord because God put His Holy Spirit in our heart. We love the Lord and we want to keep on serving God. It don't matter what comes, we keep on living for God. That's what a Christian's supposed to do. Just keep on serving God. Don't matter what happens in our life. I can't stand somebody to blame God for things. Man has made his own mess. We want a quick fix on everything. People blame God for everything. God loves us. God takes care of us. God's merciful to us and long-suffering to us. And we murmur and complain every time we get a little hangnail. Something goes wrong in our life. Wonder why God don't love us. God loves us, amen. His love never changes. His grace never changes. His mercy never changes. God is the same yesterday and forever. Amen. It's a light affliction, Paul said. Why is it a light affliction? I believe it's light because it's just for a little while. But there's an eternity ahead of us. And God's got great things ahead for us. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. And I'm not trying to add to preaching the message. I just want you to know that he's not preaching off the top of his head. He's preaching from his heart, trying to help each of us tonight to see that you don't quit on God when the going gets tough. When things get rough, I believe it causes the real people of God to draw closer to the Lord. Amen. It ought to. When things go wrong, things get bad, it ought to draw you closer to the Lord.
Amen.
You ought to scrunch up next time and just ask Him to help you and trust in Him and put your hope in Him. Amen. And God will help you through. He'll see you through. I've done that for 34 years. God's been good to me. God's helped me so many times to get over things and not be bitter in my heart about things and not get discouraged to where I quit and give up. Have you ever been tempted to, preacher? I sure have. And a lot of times I say, why'd I put up with this or why'd I do this? The reason I do it is because He saved me from the devil's hell.
Amen.
He saved me from the devil's hell and He put His Spirit in my heart, put His love in my heart. How could I quit Him when He didn't quit me?
Amen.
Lord didn't quit on us. He went all the way. People cussing Him out and smacking Him and beating Him with their fist and calling Him all kinds of blaspheming His name and doing all kinds of wicked things and He went on up Calvary's hill and laid down His life for all of us. Went all the way. He set His face like a flint and finished His course that God the Father gave Him to run. Paul did the same thing. He said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. We need to finish our course. God help us. Amen. I want to finish. I want to finish right. Amen. I want to finish right.
Amen.
I want to finish with glory in my soul when Christ comes, leave out of here with a shout. Amen. And meet my Lord in the air. Or if I go by way of the clods and I wake up in glory. One day if I drop dead of a heart attack and I wake up in glory. Amen. I want to say to the Lord how much I love Him and thank Him and praise Him for all He's done for me. Amen. Let's sing this invitation song. We want to pray first. And we're going to turn to page 155 in the hymn book. Brother Schultz is going to lead the invitation tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you need to come and ask Him to save you tonight. He will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're a child of God here tonight and you're struggling with something, I mean something's overwhelmed you, there's nothing bigger than God. God is bigger than your problem. And if you'll bring your problems to the Lord, He'll help you with it. He'll help you overcome and be victorious. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank you again for saving us by your grace. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be your children. And Lord, thank you for the message tonight, the messenger. Father, it's blessed our hearts and helped us and encouraged us, Lord, to keep on keeping on these last days. Lord, I know iniquity is abounding on every hand. The love of many is waxing cold. Father, we are in the last days before your Son comes and takes us home. But Lord, help us to be faithful till you do come. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
House tonight, and